being out on the road and offering an opportunity to do likewise, help you out with this special edition of the Kauai Soapbox.
That's great, and I'm in your stomping grounds, Jimmy. Right now I'm at Kauai Community College at the Sustainability Summit, and it's a really, really good program, the Ho'oulu'ehi. I think you're a part of it, and it's really been quite impressive, our walk through the different projects that are on campus here.
Nice.
And I was particularly impressed with the car mechanic stuff. They have some of the coolest things, I think they call it green automotive. So that's been really great. And there's a big round circle of people and a very good conversation going on, great format. And Senator Ron Cochise here, and our Department of Ag Chair Scott Enright, and Department of Health Jenny Pressler.
Nice.
And many other people. So it's a great conversation that's happening.
And a focus on sustainability being hosted by Ho'oulu'ehi. We had Benjamin Katz, who's the director, on Out of the Box a couple of weeks ago. Felicia, the afternoon event is going on for a little bit longer, and then what else is happening?
Well, I'm going to a meeting out on the west side, and we'll talk about that on another show, but it is something that came off an earlier show, so it's always great to be a part of KKCR when we work to make solutions for the community, and I'll look at that with deeper focus on another show, but I'll be out all night.
You'll be out all night.
I'll be home tonight, but I mean all evening.
There's plenty of stuff to do. We were talking earlier in the studio a little bit about the Super Tuesday, and what's so super about Tuesday? It's just
bluegrass
radio, our community radio, and our conversation about, it's that time of year, I guess.
Yeah, so some of what we'll talk about at the beginning of the show today is understanding the politics that's going on. And Marshall, are you there?
I'm here.
Yep.
Do you hear me, Felicia?
I asked him, he's actually pretty good at following some of this stuff. Like, what is the story on a Super Tuesday, Marshall? Can you tell us what that is and what that means?
Sure. Super Tuesday is a day early.
Can you push the yellow button so I can hear him above his mic?
There we go. Thank you.
All set?
Yeah.
Better?
Hi. Okay, so what's up? What's going
well,
on?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm watching the results as they come in, and it is fascinating. We have...
Tell us what Super Tuesday is, in case people don't.
Sure, it's just a set of primaries that all happen today, fairly early on in the primary process.
So finding the presidential candidates for each of the parties?
Yes, exactly. And it's especially significant this year for the Republican Party because after 2012, when Romney, yeah, he had a lead. He was the establishment candidate early on in the process, and he just didn't get enough votes early on to secure his place, and he went through a long, drawn-out primary season where he got knocked about by every other candidate there, and in the end that really hurt him in the general. So the Republican Party changed their primary process, weighting it heavily up front so that the front runner in Super Tuesday basically would have an almost insurmountable lead. So that makes today particularly important for the Republicans, if Donald Trump does as well as he's expected, and I'll tell you it looks like he is, that does make him almost inevitably the nominee for president for the Republican Party. And it looks like it's shaping up on the Democratic side to still be a race. Hillary Clinton is, as expected, doing very well in the South, in Texas, and Bernie Sanders is picking up some states in the North and in the Midwest. So it's important for Bernie Sanders that he is picking up those states that he expected to do well in. Otherwise, it would be just a crushing blow for him at this point. But now he's staying in the race. It's competitive, and there's still a long way to go.
Well, so can you tell us which states it is that's all? Can you name the states?
Only because I'm looking at it.
He has it in front of us.
I sure
Thanks,
do.
Marshall.
Sure. For the Republicans, they're almost the same. There are a couple that are different between the parties. Republicans are going to polls in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. And the the Democrats vote in Alabama, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. Notable on the Republican side is Texas, Ted Cruz's home state, and it was said that if he didn't do well there, he was out of the race. If he couldn't do well there, he wouldn't do well anywhere, and it looks like he did well there, but nowhere else. So we'll see how that plays out, but at least maybe he's hanging in there.
We have left in the Republican primary race, we have Rubio, Cruz, and Trump, and who else?
That's all that matters.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it may be all that matters.
It?
But
yeah, well, I mean, I who else, I guess, is still in
there? I'm
having
so
a brain
thing.
Doctor,
all dropped out.
Dr. Ben Carson?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not showing.
What are the ones that you said, Felicia? We have Donald Trump,
Marco Rubio, and then Ted Cruz. And so how is Rubio doing? I think he's sort of the hope for the people who are a little bit more centrist. I think
they're running neck and neck. It's Rubio with 28 delegates and Cruz with 22.
I should say that there are some states that don't have their results yet, and
many of
them don't have their final results.
And what does Trump have?
182.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, it's a huge. I mean, Carson has just barely a sliver. And Kasich, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. And he's a little bit thicker. He's got 6 over Carson's 5 delegates, and then Cruz is a little fatter at 22 delegates. Rubio comes in with a big thicker mark at 28, and then Donald Trump with a big fat red mark above his name. And Stephen Jay, if you're out there, would love to hear conversations as to what is the Republican Party looking to do about this.
Yeah, now that Stephen Jay is likely to come in a little bit later in the show.
Perfect.
or call in. There's going to be a number of people calling in. We're expecting.
We have Janice Bond is waiting for our phone call, so we're going to bring her up. She's got a couple of events coming up for voter registration, so. Maybe.
Oh, good. And then maybe she can explain the caucus process, because, you know, what I have seen is that in the Republican primaries and caucuses, they're kind of similar. We have a caucus. It's, it's really informal. You write the name down on a piece of paper and you turn it in. But that the Republicans have really been showing out in droves, whereas the Democrats haven't hardly gone out. And when I've asked people, most people don't realize that we have a presidential preference poll for the Republicans. It is March 8th, and for the Democrats, March 26th. And Marshall, do you have a list right there? I think I gave you one of, like, can you...
He's on the phone right now.
...where people come and vote and at which time, because it's not the same as the normal elections. There are less polls, so people really need to listen, and you can't do absentee balloting. You have to go in physically and do it. It's kind of fun.
Felicia, I just got Janice on the phone.
Okay. All right, here, just put double punch my button and then bring her up.
Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Thank you, Janice Bond, for joining us here on Kauai Soapbox. Felicia is also joining us by phone. And we were just talking, if you weren't listening, about the presidential preference. What do we call it? The
presidential preference poll.
There we go. And we have two events coming up for Kauai, correct?
Well,
that's right. One for the Republicans, one for the Democrats. Janice, why don't you share with them
the
Democrat
things that are really important for March 26th, if I might, and also voter registration.
Perfect.
The presidential preference poll is Saturday, March 26th. And I have a list that I will have with me as I do voter registration tonight at Gary Hoosier's event at Convention Hall. People can take this. It's the doors will open on March 26th at 12 o'clock. We're setting up at 11:30 at our precinct sites, and voting will begin at 1 o'clock. We ask people to bring their IDs, whether it's state ID, driver's license. You'll be going through a process of checking whether you're registered to vote, and then if you're a registered Democratic Party member. If you've joined the Democratic Party, you will be asked to step to your precinct and then sign the attendance sheet and then be given a ballot. Voting will begin at 1 o'clock. And we ask that people, after they've voted, stay for the precinct election of officers and convention delegates. The Kauai County Convention is April 16th at Convention Hall, and the State Democratic Convention is the weekend of Memorial Weekend, May 28th and 29th at the Sheraton Waikiki. We do need to have people who come forward to be precinct officers as well as convention delegates. The cost of the convention is on their own. That means airfare and hotel rooms and registration
and Janice,
fees.
For listeners
but I will
don't
have a list of
what a
presidential preference poll locations.
Felicia, okay. Apparently she can't hear you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jimmy, do you want to intervene here?
Sure. Janice, Felicia was asking if you could describe what a delegate does, what is some of the responsibilities and some of the other, if you will, descriptions of officers for precincts and whatnot.
Okay. My title is I am District 15 Chair. I have five precincts under me from Wailua Homestead, which is 15-1. 15-2 is Hanamalu, and I do need officers there. It's a very weak precinct. 15-3 is the north end of Rice Street to Hanamalu. And 15-4 is the other side, south and west of Tupuhi. And 15-5 is Koloa. And those are my precincts. District 14 is from Wailua House Lots all the way to Hanalei. And District 16 is from Poipu to Ni'ihau. But if you are a precinct officer, we have the president, vice president, the district council rep, the secretary, and the treasurer. And by the last time we voted, this is how the total allotment of state convention delegates and alternates are based. So, like, for my 15-1, we were allotted five last time. And usually it's equal number of males and females. But if five, we can cut them in half. We had, like, two females and three males that were selected to go. So if you want to be a delegate to the state convention and as well to the county convention, you can forward your name. And this is done after the votes are taken on March 26th.
So it's kind of like if you want to participate at that level, you need to be there on the 26th to put your name in the hat and participate in the elections.
It is not absentee ballot, and I need to.
No write-ins. You must be present to win.
And you have to be there in person. I'd like to also give some other election dates.
Oh, no, please. That's why we invited you on today.
The registration deadlines for the primary election is July 14th. And for the primary, walk-in starts August 1st. The primary election is August 13th. And I need to let the people know there is a differentiation, because people have been telling me, oh, we'll just vote in the primary. Well, in the primary, the presidential election is not listed. It's in the general election that you will be voting for whoever wins against the Republican.
Okay, for this is the Democratic Party members.
Yes, so you have to, if you want to say you prefer Bernie over Hillary, that's when you come in and put your X, because this allows us to know the number of delegates and to have you secure your percentages. And at the state convention, this is where our 34 delegates and two alternates are elected to go to the national convention. So it's very important, the March 26th date. It's not a absentee ballot.
So can you guys have her say where each piece is? Like there's a polling place in Princeville, but not Kilauea.
Yes, so I have a list that I will...
Kapaa Neighborhood Center, Princeville Community Center. Can you guys list off where these presidential preference polls are for the Democratic Party?
We'll try to make that information available as Janice says she has some that she has on her, and we'll make those available in the near future. Is that correct,
Marshall,
Janice?
Marshall has it on the list that he brought in to read it off.
Oh, well, there you go. So when we have time on air, Marshall will be glad to list those off.
Yes, I have it on Facebook as well, and it's on Hawaii for Bernie Sanders website. But let me tell you a little about the general election. The deadline for registering is October 10th, and the general election date is always the second Tuesday, which is November 8th.
James,
we can register people who are 16. It pre-registers them. But if they're going to vote on this election, they have to be 18 by election day to vote.
Okay. And Marshall has a question for you, Janice.
Would you say that it's almost a given that in the general election, the state of Hawaii will go with the Democratic candidate?
Not necessarily so, because whoever comes out with the percentages, that's where the delegates to the national convention are selected.
Right. Do you happen to know when the last time the state actually went with a Republican candidate in the general election was?
Oh, no.
Okay.
So they never did.
Not in your recent memory.
Not that I know of. And, you know, for those people who become precinct officers and convention delegates, I really highly recommend that they stay for the entire convention, because on my first convention, I saw that neighbor islands were given a weighted vote, you know, on legislative bills and things that came forward. There are many areas that people can be useful. It was my first one that I went to where I saw Mina Morita and Barbara Robeson with the Environmental Caucus. And I was so proud of Kauai and these two ladies. I mean, environmental issues can be very headstrong, especially if there are men there. And yet our committee's caucus finished early. And they were so calming and very stick-to-it-ness. And I was really proud of them. But at the end, when the votes are tallied on everything, the neighbor islands get a weighted vote, you know. And that's why I encourage people to stay, because we lost out when we had people leave for early departure and golfing and shopping. So we need to have everybody stay. If you really are concerned about the democratic process, to be committed to stay for the entire convention.
So, Janice, for folks that are just joining us, we have Janice Bond on the phone, and Felicia Cowden is also joining us on the phone. Janice, before you go, could you let folks know how they can get in touch with you if they want more information, and could you briefly tell us what two events that you'd like to share information about that are coming
up
soon?
My name is Janice Bond. I'm on Facebook. I sit at the state information desk on Thursday mornings, usually from 8 to 10. That's where most people know to find me. My number is 639-9201. I live in Uluko off Nawiliwili Road. My backyard is on Nawiliwili, and you'll see the caucus date and time to vote on a banner. And I'm hosting tomorrow at 5 o'clock a barnstorming for Bernie Sanders. And basically, Kauai started about the first part of July. And I could not get my friends to get organized for Hillary, I'm sorry to say, because for the first time, the Democratic Party of Kauai paid for the booth. I usually do voter registration at the county fair. And surprisingly, only Bernie's people were there to help me. I also had Mason Chalk's mother, and Joanne and Kipukai came out with their items as well. This time, and as I told everybody, walk-in is August 1st. The primary election is August 13th, and the county fair is the week after, I believe the week or 2 weeks after primary election. So it's very important for people running to get the word out about their candidate. And another event, I know that Megan Fox is having a meet and greet also at the old Kojima store on Thursday. She's posted it also on the Kauai for Bernie website. And we have several people, Ann Thurston and David Diner on the North Shore are coordinating the North Shore. And Joe Knights-Gardner and Barbara Richter in the Kalahil area are coordinating the south and west side.
Well, Janice, thank you so much for the wealth of information you just shared. Hope you have a wonderful time at Gary Hoosier's event this evening. That's in Lihue as well?
Yes, it's at Convention Hall. And I want to say that if you have never registered to vote, there's many ways to register. You can go online at elections.hawaii.gov. You can go to the telephone book. You can go to the Office of Election, state libraries, even the telephone book have forms. So you don't have to come personally find me. And also, we have various, if you go to any of the websites, you can find how to get in touch with events and activities.
And the phone number for the Office of Elections, if anyone asks questions about the process or where to go to participate, 808-241-4800.
Yes, and your Hawaii driver's license and state IDs and social security numbers are required to use online voter registration system. And if you come to the presidential preference poll, please bring your state ID or driver's license, because we'll just be having lists there. We may not know everybody. And also we'll be having forms that people, if you've not had a chance to register, can register as well. So please bring your state ID or driver's license that day.
Right on. Janice, thank you so much for joining us here on Kauai Soapbox.
No, and come see me at Gary's event and ask any more questions. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
So thank you, guys. And, you know, she's a strong Bernie supporter. And, but, you know, on KKCR, we are, you know, open-minded to all the candidates. So the same dates apply if people want to go in and vote for Hillary Clinton. Marshall, you have it in front of you. I know Princeville Neighborhood Center. That would probably, and people should look. Do you have the list right there?
I do.
He does have the list. So we were just starstruck. Stephen J. Yoder walked in the door. We'll get him mic'd up here in a second.
Okay, so we'll get him onto the Republican, but Marshall, can you give the locations for the Democrat?
Sure.
Presidential preference poll.
If you are in District 14-1, that's Princeville Community Center, 14-2, Kilauea Neighborhood Center, 14-B, I'm sorry, 14-3, Anahola Community Center, 14-4 and 5, the Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, 15-1 to 15-3, Lihue Neighborhood Center, 15-4 and 15-5, that is the HGEA Hall. Do I have that correct?
HGEA.
HGA, Hawaii Government Employee Association.
Where is that?
In Lihue.
It's like on Akahi Street, I think, right there, kind of near Walmart, near Tip
By
Top.
By Tip Top.
Okay. District 16-1 is at the Kaloa Neighborhood Center, 16-2 Kalahea Neighborhood Center, 16-3 to 16-6 are at the Kaumakani Neighborhood Center.
Kaumakani. Mm-hmm.
Almost. And again, the elections office, if you need to be sure where you're going, is 808-241-4800.
And then, so you would be looking at, you could ask them which district you're in, or you could call the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, because I know the Republican Party, if you're already registered, they are sending out little notices in the mail. And it tells you where, but that's just a week away, which is on the 8th, is Stephen Jay or Stephen Yoder. Busting you on that one. Are you
Stephen
on the air yet?
Stephen Jay is on the air. We just handed Marshall a nice little bit of information. So, Stephen Jay, how's that microphone?
I don't know. Can you guys hear me okay?
Can.
Yes.
I can hear you. So tell us about the Republican event.
Good. Is Janice still on the phone?
Janice is not on the phone.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
She's my English teacher. It wasn't for her I wouldn't have passed.
There we go.
She passed me, I think, with a D in English. I had a hard time my last year.
Anyway, you overcame that.
I overcame that. So, and just to answer the question earlier, I know that you guys asked of Janice if there was ever a time, Marshall, that a Republican won the general election for the state of Hawaii.
Right.
It was 1984. It was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay.
So 1980, he did not win Hawaii. But he won 49 states in 1984. I think the only state he didn't win was Mondale State, Minnesota.
Hmm.
So
what do you think of Donald Trump big win? What's your thought on that? And I'm jumping in here.
Well, you certainly are. Just right away.
That's good. Actually, it's Trump that has added so much fuel to the fire on 2 points. And what I'm going to say is not that I'm advocating Donald Trump, but I'm just telling you how I perceive it to be. He's never run for political office before. He's been very successful, not controversial. I mean, he's always been controversial, but he's been very successful in whatever he's chosen to do. And I think people, both in the Democrat and the Republican Party, are sick and tired of people saying they're going to do something. I know in the Republican Party, we'd like to see the borders strengthened, not to release illegal immigrants into the United States, which Obama has continually done, and the executive orders and trying to close Guantanamo and not to mention Fast and Furious, Benghazi. I mean, where do I stop? Every one of these, we'll get to the bottom of it, but none of them we have. The repeal of Obamacare has increased health extraordinarily. You can't keep your own doctor. It does cost more. It's entirely impossible to meet the minimum deductible. So anyway, but see, Republicans are tired of being promised in 10, 12, 14 that these things would be done. And they weren't, or at least there was at least no attempt to do it. But the biggest thing, I think, Felicia, and for the radio audience, is that we have continually spent money we don't have. And I know when I ran for office, one of my mottos was, whenever your out goes more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. And we have continually spent nearly $1 trillion, if not more than a little more than $1 trillion, more than what we're taking in. And the Republicans have gone along with it.
Right.
And that's one point. The second point is this, which I think is going over everybody's head like a hairnet, is that the media cannot control Trump. Trump controls the media. With the McCain presidency nomination, they took out Sarah Palin quite early with an interview that was pick and chose. And if you ever see the full interview with Sarah Palin, she doesn't come across as the doofus that Katie Couric made her out to be. But that was a great editing job on their part. But with Romney, they took him out with something that he said at a gathering about how if you get enough people who just want freebies, Santa Claus, then you're going to lose the election. But this is one guy they can't control, and they've tried to, and he has broken every rule in politics, and yet he's coming out victorious. And I'm not saying that he's the guy to vote for, but on March 8th, when the Republican caucus takes place, the presidential caucus, you're going to have either now Bush will still be on the ballot, even though he's suspended his run. But you'll have Kasich. Excuse me. Let me start with the alphabetical order. You have Carson, Cruz, Kasich. Help me out. Who's before Trump? Who's the other guy I'm missing right here?
Well, it'd be Rubio.
Rubio. Thank you. Rubio and then Trump. So those are the – there'll actually be six people on the ballot, but to vote for Bush would be no sense doing it.
A throwaway vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically you have five people to vote for. Now, after today, after Super Tuesday, we'll see whether Kasich and Carson stays in.
And this is a Tuesday evening, right? Like the Democratic one is a Saturday, like midday, show up at noon. This is a Tuesday evening, show up at 6 o'clock. Is that right?
Correct. The polls will open in five locations, and the five locations are Princeville Community Center, when you pull into Princeville. If you live in Hyena, Hanalei, Princeville, or Kilauea, that's where you go vote. And Kapa'a Neighborhood Center is the second one. That's for people who live in Molawa'a, Anahola, Kealia, Kapa'a, and Wailua. And then Lihue Neighborhood Center is Hanama'ulu, Lihue, and Puhi. And then for the Kalaheo Neighborhood Center, it's basically Omau to Kamakani, you know, Kaloa, Lawai, Kalaheo, Elialli, Hanapepe. And then the Waimea Neighborhood Center will be basically, you know, Pakala, Waimea, Kekaha, Ni'iau. So that will be at the Waimea Neighborhood Center. And it's only between the 2 hours of 6 to 8. Same qualifications pretty much that I understood Janice Bond to say. You have to be a registered voter. You have to be a registered Republican. So there'll be a form. If you're not a registered voter, if you have a valid state ID, you can go in there and register to vote. And you can fill out the registration form to become a Republican. And what people may not understand, in order to vote in a Democrat or Republican caucus, you have to be a member of the party. So,
and are you guys doing your delegates there as well?
No, delegates will be done. Well, we can't really do them there, but the vote has to be tallied up. We're going to send the preliminary numbers to KGMB and KHON, and so it'll make the news at 10. Yeah, the TV shows. But the final count really won't take place till probably maybe a week later, because there'll be what's called provincial votes. Provincial vote is, Felicia, where let's say if I'm county sheriff for the Republican Party here in Kauai. So as I go from poll to poll, let's say by the time the polls open, I'm voting in an area which is not where I would vote. I would vote in Kapan Neighborhood Center since I live in Wild Homesteads, so I can still vote. But it will be a provincial vote, and they'll check to see whether I'm actually registered to vote, so there's no double voting. So somebody can't keep on going from poll to poll to vote. So that's a check balance. I'm sure Democrats have the same thing. And so by that, we'll determine the 19 delegates. There's 19 delegates that will be going off to Cleveland, Ohio on June 15th to throw their support behind either the whatever candidates are left.
Okay. And is there a number people could call if they are unclear which precinct they're in, or if they don't understand? Is there a website or a phone number?
Yeah, they can go to gophawaii.com.
Like Grand Ole Party Hawaii.
Like Grand Ole Party Hawaii.
gophawaii.com.
Or they can also call me if they want. Area code 808-855-5503.
That's an Oahu number?
That's an iPhone. It's the new iPhone exchange. I got it a couple years ago when I ran for office, but it's 855-5503. They can also email me, and I will be checking my email, Bob Hickling. I know Bob Hickling's listening, Bob Bradford. But they can email me at steve@gophawaii.com.
S-T-E-V-E.
S-T-E-V-E at gophawaii.com, correct. So it's going to be exciting. And I know this may sound anecdotal, anecdotal. I learned that word from who used to do the Tuesday show.
How soon we forget guy.
Carlos, yeah.
Carlos?
But when I go talk to people, and I'm always inviting people to vote. Either if you're a Democrat, then I tell them March 26th is your time. If it's, of course, us, March 8th for the caucus. But I've been having people tell me, Steve, I'm going to vote for Trump. And I'm hearing this from Republicans and Democrats and independents and people don't vote. And it's become far more than anecdotal. And I say, why? He says, I think he'll do something. I think people are just tired of, and whether he will or not, Felicia, I don't know. But I know this, that whatever he has said he'd do, he's done. I mean, he's built his towers, he's built his gambling casinos, he's built his buildings. I mean, he's done it.
Did you see, who is it, John Oliver? Did you see his rebuttal to that?
No, I didn't see it. What did it say?
I just basically called Donald Trump a liar, compulsive liar, and he'll say anything to get elected. Or to make the deal.
Unlike any other politician,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, you know, that's it. But, go ahead, Felicia.
Well, because I'm going to not stay on the phone a long time. Let me just throw a few thoughts in there, and then I will let you gentlemen carry on, and the callers who will be calling in at 826-7771.
We definitely have some callers calling in. We have some live music also coming up at the top of the hour. Brandy Miller is going to be playing a song that has been going viral locally, if you will.
Okay, great.
Joel Guy will come on at the top of the hour or sometime in the second hour to talk a little bit about the question for voting for our council members by district, if that's something Koi can support.
Oh, yes, perfect. Yeah. And then you might be hearing from Tim Rice. I asked him maybe to give a call in to give a little bit more detail about what was shared at the Halavai Kua. I think is what it's called, this last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Tsai was in there, and this German graduate student studying Hawaiian studies, his doctorate, he was there, and it was a really amazing presentation. And just to give a little broad brushstroke, more and more information is coming out since the Internet's out, and like in this day, Lorenz's case, he speaks eight languages. So he has, translated and, they had pictures and images of the real documents of the reactions of different countries and the communications, like King Kalakaua had gone, circumnavigated the earth. He was the first statesman who had done that. And the Hawaiian Kingdom had more than 100 embassies around the world. And it really had something very significant going on. And so he had these documents that were conversations between the different countries as overthrow was happening. Last Tuesday, I had Justin Kohler on the air. There was a number of people who called in that are concerned about the illegal occupation of Hawaii. And between Keanu Tsai's presentation and this other man's, and many, many other things that have been coming up as the Internet has gotten stronger and as people, Hawaiian language, their Olelo has become proficient. It's just almost irrefutable, the claim that there was not a legitimate takeover. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I mean, I think there has to be parallel reality. But I would say I was sitting in there kind of shocked and upset even, at how intentional was the disinformation campaign. The word that they used was, this was for the public schools, was inculcate. How do they inculcate the kids and the community, the population, to obscure history? And that was really disturbing to see. So that's one point. And then two other things that have happened this week that I think are very significant is they had the AHA. That's basically, we've been watching this Na'i'au Puni effort to have an internal governance, like make the native Hawaiians be more like a native tribe instead of a country.
Sure.
In this Friday piece there, you see how
white people, Chinese people, all different kinds of people were considered Native Hawaiian back then. And Native
I'm not sure if Native Hawaiian is correct, but they were considered subjects or, of the...
Well, it said on these documents, it said Native Hawaiian. You know, where they signed it, that meant they were born there.
Mm.
But I saw a letter to Barack Obama, asking to expand the Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument, which is basically the marine reserve of the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, which people are pretty much shut out of now. I was really surprised to see the names on it. William Ila, people know him from the Department of Land and Natural Resources in the past. I think right now he's head of Department of Hawaiian Homeland. Kamana'o Pono Krab, who is the head of Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Isaac Paka Harp, Kukuliwa Ikiloli, I don't know him. Kalaio Manuel, Victoria Holt Takamini, and Nainoa Thompson, you know, from the Hokuleo. So they have this kind of gold star panel of seven people asking to put that the waters of Hawaii into federal hands. That surprised me. And then in the AHA, you know, the people that they picked, at least I'm trying to confirm it, there's very little on the internet. There is quite a bit on Facebook, but I'm trying to find the real links. They had pictures of, like, Governor Waihe'e, former Governor Waihe'e, and Robin Danner, and three other individuals that are now said to be, you know, the voice of Hawaii. And so that was...
tumultuous times, to say the least, Felicia.
So hopefully Tim will call in and have some words on that.
We have Bart Dame on the phone. Do you want to stay on, or are you ready to continue on?
I will get off, and you can let Bart know that Janice has called in. Bart can maybe he could do a little explanation. Janice explained a little bit about the delegate process, but some people don't understand the Electoral College system as how the delegates actually elect the president. So Bart calling in for that. Bridget Hammerquist might be calling in a little bit, like about 15 minutes after the hour, to talk about an amazing meeting that happened in Kalola last week, dealing with Mahalapu. So I will let you all go. And
we'll carry on, Felicia. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And
drive
thank you,
safely.
Bart, for calling in. Okay, bye-bye.
We have another phone call. Bart Dame, are you there?
I'm here.
And did I get your last name right?
Yes, Dame. If you're Japanese, you'd recognize it as Dame. And there's some truth in that. So those of your listeners who don't understand, that's okay.
Bart, well, thank you for joining us. And Jimmy Trujillo, co-host with Marshall, and we are glad that you joined us. Felicia, I don't know if you heard her request to you of maybe doing a little articulation of the Electoral College. But before that, just a little bit about yourself, and thanks for calling to Kauai Community Radio.
Okay, let's see. I wasn't prepared to talk about myself. I'm such a humble person. You know, I don't know how to do that. Okay.
Well, then you can be brief.
Okay. I grew up in Kailua on Oahu. Uh-huh. I live in town now. I used to work Inner Island Construction during the 70s, and I love Kauai of all the islands, and I try to go there when I can.
Terrific.
I've been involved in a bunch of presidential campaigns, from Jesse Jackson's campaign in 88. That gave me the bug, and then I was co-chair of Dennis Kucinich's campaign in 2004. I've been chair of the Democratic Party's Hawaii East Rules Committee, but I gave that up a few weeks ago in order to be the authorized rep for the Sanders campaign in Hawaii. And I will try to answer questions as honestly and objectively as possible, but people should be aware I am a strong Bernie Sanders supporter.
Well, right on. Thanks for that brief update. And it sounds like you've been involved in the campaigns on the far left of the spectrum for the Democratic side. Would that be safe to say?
I think it's pretty common sense. I don't know how far left it is. I'm definitely a man of the left, but I don't think I'm that far off. I think that we see with Bernie's campaign that his program, even though he describes it as Democratic Socialist, is supported. His main planks are supported by a majority of the American people. It's just that the Democratic Party, almost as bad as the Republican Party, not quite, has not been representing the interests of working people. And so Bernie's ideas are left for the Democratic Party, but they're not left for American culture generally.
Yeah, and how do you think today, Super Tuesday results for the Bernie camp? You guys happy with the results? Do you need to make some changes, or you feel like it's just growing?
Well, I confess is I have stayed away from looking at the results. I just stopped off at the Democratic Party headquarters and had TV on, so I saw a little bit. So I'm not prepared to talk about what has happened, except I will say that, you know, Bernie's going to keep going, and in Hawaii we're going to mobilize and try to turn out as many people, because one is we want to elect people to go to the national convention to help perhaps nominate Bernie, but in addition to that, it's a barometer for political sentiment in Hawaii. We can tell how progressive people are. The politicians, people might remember when the conservative pastors were organizing against same-sex marriage, a lot of politicians got scared of that. So we're hoping that we can show the politicians that progressives can organize and turn out voters as well. So the more people that show up in the precinct caucuses, that will have an impact on elected officials in Hawaii. And if we have a strong showing for Bernie Sanders, it will embolden those politicians that have some progressive ideas, and it will embolden candidates who have progressive ideas to run for office. So that's, we have our needs locally, but we're also hoping still yet to nominate Bernie as the candidate for the Democratic Party.
Well, thanks, Bart, for that. I wonder with the, oh, the word's progressive, and I'm looking right across the way as one of the most conservative volunteers at Kauai Community Radio I've ever met, and Stephen J. Yoder, thanks for joining us here on Out of the Box. You're a Republican Party representative, or maybe Bart doesn't know who you are.
I'm county chair for the Republican Party on Kauai.
County chair for the Republican Party on Kauai.
Which, that and $3 will get me a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And who's buying?
Boy, he's a decent guy.
Yeah, and he is a decent guy, and I appreciate both of your efforts, your you know, dedication to community and the hard work it takes to go out and pound the pavement, to go shake hands, to go meet up with folks that might not want to give you the time of day. How does it work, this party politics stuff?
Okay, well, I don't want to step on Stephen if he's there to talk. I can talk quickly on the Democratic process. You said that Janice had already given some sort of pitch on what the process is and what people can expect.
A little bit. She did inform us of the dates that we're going to be having coming up on Kauai, the 26th being an important day for Democrats, and Steve's been sharing that the 8th is the due date. Did I get that right,
Steve? We from today, right. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
And so go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, If I can just talk real briefly on the Democratic Party thing, and I'd like to hear Stephen's presentation, and so maybe we can even chatter afterwards, but the short pitch on the Democratic Party thing is there are about, I don't know the exact number, there are something over 4,000 delegates that are going to be meeting in Philadelphia in July at the Democratic National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be nominated, to be the Democratic nominee, either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton is going to need to have a majority of those delegates. Now, Hawaii has 34 delegates being sent to the National Convention. Of those, 9 are what are called superdelegates. Now, the Republicans are lucky they don't have such a big presence for superdelegates. Superdelegates in Hawaii are 4 Democratic members of the congressional delegation, the governor, who's a Democrat, the state party chair, the state party vice chair. These are going to be the new ones elected at our state convention in May. And National Committee Man, National Committee Woman, these are the incumbents whose terms expire at the end of the National Convention. The superdelegates are able to vote their own conscience or whoever pays them the most money, excuse me, I didn't say that, or whatever, you know, gets them to vote. And so they are not bound, but the other 25 out of the 34 are what are called pledged delegates, and what that means is they are bound by the vote that happens on March 26th. when everybody goes to their little neighborhood precinct caucus meetings or district caucus meetings and they cast a ballot, they'll have a very simple ballot. It'll have four items on it. Vote for Hillary Clinton, for Bernie Sanders, for some guy named Rocky De La Fuente, who's from San Diego, and he's got extra money, so he paid and he qualified to be on the ballot here. And the fourth option is uncommitted, which is partly sort of a none-of-the-above option, but it also allows so that if something were to happen to one of the other major candidates and the new candidate didn't have enough time to get on the ballot because of deadlines, then people could mobilize and say, we don't like any of the other candidates. We want to go send our people to the national convention uncommitted, and that will allow for a brokered convention. So, and that's it. So people who vote, their vote will be binding. It will determine whether Hillary or whether Bernie gets how many delegates to go to the national convention. And so it's important for people to turn out, both for the reasons of some of us want to nominate Bernie, some obviously want to nominate Hillary, but also because it's a barometer for the local party leaders and elected officials to understand the relative strength of the Bernie wing versus the Hillary wing of the party, and the differences are rather profound.
Stephen, you want to any addressing of that?
Yeah, I would. Is it Bart?
Yeah, Bart.
You brought up superdelegates. This is one thing that's a big difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has quite a few people who are elected as superdelegates to where no matter what the will of the people are, and Bart, you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I know in New Hampshire when Bernie stopped Hillary, soundly spanked her at the polls, they ended up with about the same amount of delegates.
Yes.
And this is one of the atrocities, I think, of the Democrat Party. It's not true of the Republican Party. That it basically it just goes on who votes. Those are the delegates that mm-hmm. are allotted. Now, many times when if there's more than 50% who vote, let's say in Hawaii or Texas. In fact, I just got a message here from my best friend Bob Hickling, Auntie Maria's husband here, that they've called 5 of 11 states for Trump. Rubio and Cruz both get some delegates. Of course, Cruz got a bunch in Texas. But many times when we get over the 50% level, then they all go for that one candidate. The Electoral College, I just want to touch on that because Felicia brought it up. The Electoral College is a general election. This we're talking about delegates, which have to do with the nomination of that particular party for the Republican or Democrat nominee. But in the Electoral College, you have to have at least 270 electoral votes to win. Electoral votes are determined on the popular vote. How many electoral votes each state has is dependent upon how many congressmen they have and how many U.S. senators. So every state has at least two U.S. senators. Mm-hmm. In fact, they only have two U.S. senators. Wyoming and a few other states have only one congressman. Like Wyoming is only 600,000 people, right. So you only have three. Hawaii, we have two congressmen, one congressman, one congresswoman, who I might add, I was quite surprised, Tulsi Gabbard, who sometimes I think can be conservative. But boy, she surprised me, Bart. It didn't surprise me that she left the vice chairmanship for the DNC with Debbie Blaberman Wasserman Schultz, as I like to call her sometimes. But she left it to go with Bernie Sanders. So she's threw her support behind Bernie. So Hawaii has four electoral votes. So and one more thing. In 1984, Reagan won Hawaii. Nixon won it in 1960. And very few people realize this. They did a recount, much like what they did in Florida with Bush and Gore. And then it went to Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
So Nixon, for a brief moment, did win Hawaii.
And did that change the outcome?
No, not
no big hoo-ha.
Really. No. Nixon thought about contesting it, but not so much because of Hawaii, but it just... It was
so close. Too close to call.
Well, it's like Jack Kennedy told the press, my father would never pay for any more votes than he needed to win the election. Jack Kennedy was very good with humor.
There we go. Bart, we're going to go to the top of the hour. Any last comments? Anything that you'd like to share with listeners of Kauai Community Radio?
No, I just would ask people to pick one of the parties. And they're also Libertarian and they're Green parties, and they have different nominating processes than the Republicans and the Democrats. Republicans kind of copied our system. They decided that we had big turnout, so that they decided they wanted to have caucuses, too, rather than pick them at convention. But go and participate. And I'm hoping that people will pick Bernie, but it's important that people get engaged and they have the experience and they form their own ideas. And so turn out March 26th if you're voting in the Democratic caucus. Get there early. Be there before 1 o'clock. It's not like a regular election place. It starts at 1, and if it's a small turnout, it might end at 1:30 or shortly thereafter. It's a small window of opportunity. If there are long lines, as long as anyone's in line, they can vote. But if there's a short line and you get there late, you may be out of the opportunity to vote. So get there early.
Same thing for March 8th. 1 week from today, 6 to 8, the polls will close at 8. If you're in line at 8, you can still vote. Bring a photo ID, and we'll see whether you're registered to vote. And if you're not, we'll get you registered to vote in the state of Hawaii, and then we'll get you registered in the Republican Party, and then you'll get a ballot and put it in and get a cookie and cup of juice, and you're out the door.
There you go. Mark Dane, thank you for calling in from Oahu. Stephen J. Yoder, thank you for joining us from Wailua. And we've got some live music coming on up. Marshall, anything you want to add before we go to the top of the hour? Good stuff?
Well, just still following the results here, and looks like... in Massachusetts, for the Democrats, Hillary Clinton is just ahead. So that's actually big news for Bernie Sanders. He was hoping to take that. It's right up there in his neighborhood.
Right there, Massachusetts, yeah. Being kind of, if you will, one of those traditionally, is that a blue state?
That's definitely a blue state.
Big and blue, but Bernie couldn't come through with that.
I will tell you, though, a bright spot for Bernie Sanders is he got 86% of the vote in his home state of Vermont.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Al Gore couldn't do that. So we're going to go to the top of the hour, but before we do that, here's what I got to do.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right. We've got a full house. Where'd it go? I just saw it written down here somewhere. It says the cookie jar, the cookie time. It's cookie time. God, how come I couldn't even read that? Here we go. I've been having too many cookies, spilling my cookies, but we're going to go... I got to do this because it's that time of that time of the day. This Kauai Surf Story. Woo! What is the name of this show again, Marshall? Kauai Soapbox Live. It's made by listeners like you in partnership with the good folks at the Copper Man. Oh, wait a minute. That's out.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I'm Laura Christine at the helm. Oh my gosh, it's kind of like that. It's Super Tuesday. It's feeling pretty wonderful here. I've got some musical folks that are gonna take us off into the next hour. I saw Joel Guy. Joel Guy's here. Thank you for coming. We're gonna talk a little bit about some more election questions. But first, let me just do this again.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Thank you, X-Man. Appreciate that. And now we know that the views and opinion, we're going to listen to Mike Chu. That would be you, Brand. You're going to tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear?
Well, what we're going to hear today is a song about change. It's a song about, even though things are pretty messed up, we can close our eyes and we can picture what we really want on this planet, and that's actually the most powerful medicine for this craziness. So that's what this song's all about. It's a metaphor for just wake up out of this torpor, this little spell they've put us under, and just know that whatever you want to create, you can create. And I'm creating a world of peace and with love and light all around. And sometimes I think it sounds a little goofy because it sounds, but that's true. That's really what I want.
There
so
well,
that's
sometimes
what this,
it can be goofy.
Hey, I'm going to call in some goofy.
Nothing wrong with a little goofiness. And this has received a little bit of airplay on.
It has. I was really blessed, and it ended up on a Bernie Sanders video, and not getting any texts right this second, but I sure am happy to help the cause.
There we go.
So, yay, Bernie.
What a love. Take it away, sister.
Lying in my bed, I see the lights from down the window pane. Rain falling outside, I wanna cry, love's got me down again. Look around, what's going down, yeah, things are not what they seem. All of us just waiting.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
There we go. Mahalos for your support. Brandy, thank you for that wonderful rendition. What's the name of that?
That song's called Dream.
Dream.
You can find it on my website.
There we go. Tell us how we can find that website.
It's BrandyMillerMusic.com.
One long word, BrandyMillerMusic.com. Okay. Right on. And we got one more from the Boys in the Hood. All right, it's cookie time.
Woo!
Let's hear it. Super Tuesday on your community radio station.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of February 29th. There will be a council committee meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd. There will also be a special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd, and it will start at 8:30. Subject of the special meeting is a council manager form of government workshop. The meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights from the meeting agendas. For the committee meeting, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the County Engineer and Deputy County Engineer to discuss the circumstances relating to the Management Advisory Report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current findings and recommendations 2015-003, and that's improved monitoring and delinquent receivable accounts. Council Chair Raposo requests the Acting County Engineer provide a briefing and status update on the Hanapepe Bridge. This committee also has bills 2016, 12, and 13 on their agenda and may relate to the plumbing and electrical codes and were deferred from February 17th. The Public Safety Committee has a request from the prosecuting attorney for approval to spend federal funds in the amount of $210,716 for the Kauai Victim of Crime Act expansion project for the period July 1, 2016 through June 30, 2017. And this was referred on February 24th. Council Chair Raposo requests the fire chief provide a briefing on the recent rescues that took place in Kalalau Valley and the reasons as to why the county is not charging for the recovery of rescue expenses as outlined in Ordinance Number 991. The Planning Committee has a request from Council Chair Raposo for agenda time for the Coco Palms Hui LLC to provide a status report regarding their progress to rebuild the former Coco Palms Hotel. The Budget and Finance Committee has communications from the Salary Commission, transmitting for Council information the Salary Commission's Resolution Number 2016-01 relating to the salaries of certain officers and employees of the county for the fiscal year 2016 through 2017. This was adopted by the Salary Commission at its February 5th meeting. This is Salary Commission Resolution Number 2016-1. Also on their agenda is Bill Number 2610 for an ordinance to establish a general excise and use tax surcharge for the County of Kauai, and this was deferred from February 3rd. There will be a non-public executive session for the Office of the County Attorney to brief the Council relating to the Management Advisory Report for fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current findings and recommendations 2015-003 improve monitoring of delinquent receivable accounts and related matters. For the special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd at 8:30 a.m., their agenda is the Council Manager Form of Government Workshop. It will be used to discuss revisions to the county charter that would result in a new county charter changing the government structure of the County of Kauai from the current system to a county manager form of county government. Visit the county's website for more information. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Mahalo, John Gordon, for that county council update. We are looking at 5:15, the second hour of Kauai Soapbox Live. Marshall, thank you for manning the phones. Felicia, I hope you've arrived to your destination. Thanks for the earlier conversation about our upcoming electoral process and the presidential preference poll that will be happening on the 8th for Republicans, registered Republicans, correct? And we go. Let me get you back on up. Marshall, you're three. Did I get that right? No. Two?
Two.
Anyone one? That's Joel Guy on two. Joel Guy talking to the sock.
Aloha. Thank
Aloha.
You.
Aloha. Boy, sounds echoey without all that music. Joshua, you're on number one, I think. Hmm. That would be you, Marshall, on number four.
You got me?
I got you. There we go. How's it sounding?
How's it sound?
That's all good. Right. I had you down low because of that beautiful pedal steel, Mr. Mike Racky in the house. Thanks to Cookie Time. Joel Guy, thank you for joining us here for the second hour discussion about upcoming Kauai County election considerations. And we have a phone call already, Marshall.
Timothy Reese is on the phone.
Timothy Reese, let me see if I hit the right button. We don't drop you. Brother Timothy, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Everybody else, yeah, get the nods. Yeah. Yes, I know that Felicia invited you to talk a little bit about the event, the Halabai Ku'okoa, that happened this Friday, past Friday, the 26th, at Wilcox Elementary Cafeteria. For folks that weren't there, just share a little bit about what happened, and then we can go from there.
Wonderful. I'm part of a group of individuals here on Kauai who've taken the initiative to put together a series of educational events, shipping in scholars and educators from the neighboring islands to educate the community of Kauai regarding the historical and legal facts surrounding Hawaii. This last weekend, we had Dr. Kanasai and PhD candidate Lorenz Gonshore come speak to the community. And a lot of people know about Dr. Kianosai's research, which is centered around the continued existence of the Hawaiian Kingdom as an independent nation state in light of the lack of a treaty of cession transferring the lands lawfully to the United States of America. There are a number of people who have received their PhDs from Dr. Kianosai's research, and Lorenz Gonshore is one of those individuals who is in the process of defending his research, and hopefully he will succeed and receive his PhD. His research is really interesting because it's centered, it's based on the Hawaiian Kingdom as a non-European power in the 19th century. And Felicia kind of touched on this in the presentation that was given. Information was provided regarding the documentation of the inculcation of the national population of the people of the Hawaiian Kingdom that occurred in 1906 through the public education system, where the subjects of the Hawaiian Kingdom were taught to be American, and it was an attempt to erase the national identity of those people. So a lot of what the Hawaiian Kingdom accomplished during the 19th century really has been hidden or kept from the population, and Lorenz's research really touches on some of the fabulous accomplishments of the Hawaiian Kingdom. One of them has to do with Kalakaua's travels around the world, being the first monarch to circumnavigate the globe, and the real intention of what he was doing on his travels. Apparently, in his research, Kalakaua was trying to create a union of Asian countries to offset the colonial powers that were dominating the world at the time. The Hawaiian Kingdom, through the tumultuous time from its inception or recognition in 1843 all the way up into the overthrow, it was obvious that there was a coordinated effort by the European nations to enforce their will within the Hawaiian Kingdom, and I think Kalakaua caught wind of that and was looking to create his own union to kind of offset that intrusion into his country and the sovereignty of the nation. And that comes up in Lorenz's research in regards to the discussion with the Emperor of Japan, Meiji, I believe his name was. And that's something that his research has uncovered. Another interesting fact would be the George Washington of modern-day China government, Sun Yat-sen, I believe is his name, came to the Hawaiian Kingdom and received his education and was exposed to democracy here in the Hawaiian Kingdom. And he learned a lot, and he took that back to China, and in the textbooks, it kind of talks about Sun Yat-sen coming to Hawaii, but it's depicted as Hawaii being a part of the United States. But in reality, it was the Hawaiian Kingdom constitutional form of government that he was witnessing. So there's a lot of interesting things. The number of consulates around the world that were established by the Hawaiian Kingdom. The consulates were locations in which contracts were enforced or commerce was being dealt with in different nations. So to think that there were 90 consulates around the world, Hawaiian Kingdom consulates, is pretty incredible when you think about, you know, at that time period, there were no airplanes, there were no cars, there were no telephones. But the Hawaiian Kingdom jumped right on board with understanding business, global trade, and I think it's a good indicator of how innovative our ancestors were, considering that 80 years prior, they were living a Stone Age existence. They were not a Stone Age people socially. They might have been a little more advanced from some people's perspectives than we are today, but their existence was a Stone Age system that didn't involve currency. And I think 80 years later, they had 90 consulates around the world engaged in commerce and global trade. It's pretty phenomenal. So there's just a lot. Lorenz's research touches on a lot of these amazing accomplishments that have been kept from us. And that's really what the Halawai Ku'okoa educational series is about, is bringing to the community these little-known facts about our history as to what the Hawaiian Kingdom was and the role that it was playing in the global community. And this next event that we have Umi Perkins coming, and his PhD is in Native Tenant Rights. And Native Tenant Rights are unique to Hawaii. They don't exist anywhere else in the world. And it's probably one of the least understood aspects of land ownership here in Hawaii. So we're really just trying to get everybody up to speed so that we can begin having discussion, real discussions regarding Hawaii and its future. Right now, because of the inculcation and indoctrination that occurred in the early 1900s, a lot of what we know is really based on a false premise. And it's really hard to sit down and have a conversation with people when we're coming from a position that has really no evidence to support it. But we believe it because that's all we really know.
Right.
It's really a really interesting time that we find ourselves in. I see it as a really historic time. My perspective is an interesting one. It's one from a Hawaiian standpoint. I use that word Hawaiian from as a nationality, not an ethnicity. And that's kind of really what we find ourselves in at the time of definitions. We're having to reestablish what the definitions are when we're having these conversations because of the indoctrination that has occurred. And, it's really about educating people so that people can make educated decisions moving forward.
Right on. We're speaking with Tim Rice. Did I get it right? Is it Rice or Reese?
It's Timothy Reese.
Timothy Reese. Timothy was involved with the organizing of the Halawai Kuokoa, Aloha Aina, and the Independent Path. This was a presentation, a public presentation at Wilcox School that featured Dr. David Kaunasai as well as PhD candidate Lawrence Kunshore. You were mentioning an upcoming Halawai that is going to be happening. Do you want to repeat that and let us know when and where that will be?
Yes. It will be March 25th. There's a series of five events. The next one is March 25th, which will be featuring Umi Perkins speaking about Native tenant rights and Kaho'okahi Kanuha, who was one of the Kia'i during the TMT showdown at Mauna Kea.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be talking about his experience. He's also a teacher at Ahapunanaleo. He has a wide range of experience in a number of different areas of Hawaiian issues. They are scheduled tentatively towards the last Friday of every month. And I hope everybody attends. It's all good information that is really hard. It's not really readily available unless you're seeking it out. So that's what our main intent is, to bring it.
Make it more available.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, Timothy, will you be doing this on the last Friday of every month for several months, or is the next one the next one planned, and then we'll see what the future brings?
I believe that July is our last event plan. There's a series of six that we started with initially, and we're discussing having a cultural exhibition at the end. We're talking about legal, historical stuff, and at the end we'd like to talk about why we're doing all this. You know, the legal historical stuff can be a little boring. It sometimes can, you know, but why we're having these discussions and the foundation of really why we're having these discussions. So there will probably be a seventh one at the end, which would be more of a cultural exhibition.
Wow. Well, terrific. Please keep Kauai Community Radio considered for one of those, if you will, collaborative partners to try to get the word out, to engage our community, and to share information that is worth sharing for folks to then do what they would like with it.
Thank you very much. You know, you guys are talking about politics tonight. As a Hawaiian being my nationality, the problem that we face is multifaceted. You know, there's a legal aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
there's a political aspect, and there's also a social aspect to it. Legally, I think we've unraveled that riddle. From my perspective, today, Hawaiian, as a nationality, we don't really have a voice in the politics that occurred today. Once again, I'm using that from a national standpoint, not an ethnicity. We have mm-hmm. ethnic Hawaiians who are politicians, but we don't really have a political voice. And the social aspect deals with more of the indoctrination and inculcation that I kind of touched on earlier, and having these discussions and coming up with solutions when a lot of our understanding really based on a false premise. There has been an attempt, and there's as people are becoming educated to their situation and starting to really understand it, there has become a need for a political party, a third political party, and we're talking about registering Democrats and Republicans and whatnot. But in all reality, both of those parties have been here for the duration of this occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them have been able to successfully represent the national population that is Hawaiian.
Right.
Potentially because, you know, we didn't really even understand what that meant. So there was an effort recently by a group of people to actually create a third party, and they were calling it the Aloha Aina Party. I don't believe that they got the signatures required, but I would almost guarantee by 2018 there will be a third party showing up. And, you know, sometimes these third parties tend to create more problems than solutions. However, from my perspective of researching this issue over the last 4 years, I see every day more and more people coming to terms with the information and what it really means. One of the unexpected consequences of this information, for me personally, was rediscovering national identity. I was born and raised American. I possessed U.S. citizenship because I was born in America. I was born in San Jose. But I really didn't know much beyond what was taught to me in high school in regards to the governing document of that country, the U.S. Constitution. It's just kind of a passing class, and at that age, you kind of get other things that are more important. But in understanding and being exposed to this Hawaiian argument, I've been forced to re-look at the U.S. Constitution and really understand the importance of that document. And it's something that I really advocate people to look at and relearn what it means to be a U.S. citizen and the history behind what made America the United States of America. Because it's a pretty intense history, but at the end of the day, like Felicia talked about, there is a reality. There's this history that we're being taught, and it's irrefuted, but there is a reality that we live in. And it is the government structure. And understanding your role within that governmental structure, I think, is really important. I think a lot of people get complacent and, you know, I pay my taxes, I vote, that's all I need to do. But as a citizen of a nation, I feel that there are more obligations, protecting civil rights for future generations, and standing up and protesting and challenging government officials when they either inadvertently or purposely try to infringe on those civil rights. You know, the system we're in, it kind of seems like they do what they want until somebody protests. And unfortunately, those protests need to show up in legal challenges. But as a citizen of a nation, whatever a nation it may be, if you have a constitution, if it's a constitutional form of government, I can't help but feel, based on my research and where I'm at today, that it is our obligation to stand up and challenge the system whenever it chooses or feels the need to infringe on those rights to protect those for future generations. So that was just in regards to politics and whatnot. I encourage everybody to take the time, pick up the Constitution, read it, understand, you know, the powers that were vested in each of the branches of the federal government of the United States and their role, and don't forget to read your Bill of Rights. Those are really important, you know, due process of law. And as a Hawaiian and going through this process, it's a pretty rough process. I found myself standing right next to my kupunas back in 1898. The Hawaiian Patriotic League was a group of people who put together the Kū'e petitions, and they formed a number of groups, Hui Aloha Aina, that came together and gathered the petitions to protest annexation of the United States. But their constitution lays out their struggle pretty clearly, and it was to fight for independence, and if we couldn't get independence, we're going to protect and defend our civil rights by any peaceful and legal means that were available. And to all the Hawaiians out there that are being exposed to this, in my opinion, it's inevitable that you end up in that spot. And I think that's a value of history, is that history is there so we don't repeat the mistakes. And because we don't know our history, we are bound to repeat those mistakes. And we're having to relearn that we're having to walk back in the footsteps of our kapuna. So that's really what these halavais are about, is bringing the entire community. I just want to remind everybody, Hawaiian is a nationality. It's an ideology that's inclusive of all ethnicities. And I know there's a lot of people here who are not of the Koko or descendants of the Aboriginal people who were here before Cook arrived, that have a Hawaiian mentality and ideology when you see the sustainability, protecting the aina. And those people are Hawaiian, in my opinion. They just don't have a mechanism to activate their nationality at this point in time.
And we're speaking with Timothy Reese. Timothy, thank you for that. And it brought up a conversation I had with my ride share coming on up, as we talked about American ideals, that they're not exclusive to America, you know, justice, equality, the ability to have commerce, the ability to have access to clean air and food, the aina. And so you suggest that there is a number of us that would want that, whether it's a Republican or Democrat or a Hawaiian national, that these are things that, as someone said before, it's inalienable rights. Easier said than done. How do we get there? And I appreciate that you are taking the time to talk about the Halawai Kuokoa, the next one being on the 25th of March. And the location, will that be also at Wilcox?
We're planning, I believe it will be at Wilcox Elementary School.
Terrific. And if folks want to get in touch with you or want to find out more about the work that you're doing or getting involved in organizing the next Halawai Kuokoa, how can they get in touch with you?
That is a good question I don't have an answer to. I have a telephone number. My telephone number is 320-0384. That's 320-0384. We'll be putting out flyers. We're setting up an email account to address questions and concerns. So we don't have that up and running yet, but we do have a GoFundMe page out there. You can call me if you have any questions or would like to participate and or contribute or help regarding our halavais.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Timothy. Appreciate you joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate what you guys do over there. Mahalo.
Well, aloha and mahalo for joining us on Kauai Community Radio. I got one little quick one here for us.
And this is the station that loves you.
Wait, no, let's do it again. The station that loves you.
Right on, the station that loves you. Thanks for hanging in there, boys. Timothy, thanks for joining us on the phone. We'll be continuing the discussion of Hawaiian national organizing and Hawaiian national elections. We're going to talk about an upcoming election. The 2016 election season has already started. The presidential preferential polls are going to be upon us soon. And Joel Guy's in the house to talk a little bit about the Charter Review Commission, one of our county agencies, our county branch of government on the administrative end, has a group that meets the last Monday of the month review our charter review. Or you are reviewing our charter as a commission member.
Yes.
And
yes.
Joel, tell us a little bit about the group and what you do with them.
Well, there's probably much better scholars about the Charter Commission. I have been a Charter Commissioner for the Kauai County for way too long, probably 5 years now. It is appointed by the mayor. It's a 7-person body, and we do look at the Kauai County Charter, which is the, you know, constitution of the island, and we look to amend it wherever it is necessary and desirable, is one of our guiding principles. And so, you know, a lot of it can be kind of this housekeeping kind of, you know, should the mayor be paid by the cost control or the salary commission, and kind of stuff that gets a little bit more
tedious at times.
Tedious, and it's really a challenge for me to understand that. But it's good work. It's good to go down there, and you volunteer, and you, like I said, you're appointed. You meet on the last Monday of every month. and you go over a number of different topics that are affecting Kauai County government. And for me, it's always been an exciting opportunity for the public's participation in the process. You know, I've just been thinking about this presidential election. It's so hard not to get caught up in it. All my podcasts and everything I'm listening, watching, it's just like sucking me in. And it's so, it seems, you know, besides, you know, appointing a Supreme Court justice and maybe some foreign policy stuff, like it's really hard to see the direct effect, right? Whereas if we can create more of a, create a stronger system within our own community, you know, so that we can, I think it just seems like that's going to be a much more lasting effect and it'll reach a much broader amount of people if we can all take care of our own area. And obviously we have to be involved in that, but it's so hard not to get just sucked into that, like Super Tuesday and like
right.
all these different candidates and what they can do and what they
Don't
cannot
believe
do.
Don't the hype. It's just huge.
It is, and it's such a big kind of crazy marketing, like I said, besides Supreme Court justice and maybe, you know, some how we look around the world. Because that's his or her trip is taking care of this area of the United States, and so how do they represent amongst the rest of the countries? You know, so I can see the value there. But otherwise, it seems. I mean, I'm sure there's people that are will oppose what I'm saying, but it seems like the more we can take care of our own area, and that's where I'm hoping we're heading in this discussion.
Well, and Joshua, I'll bring you up. We talked a little bit about that on the drive up. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. So what was in particular, Ruby?
Just the nature of how presidential politics really, does it matter so much at the local level?
Oh,
is
yeah.
it going to stay the same? Are we going to see much difference?
Yeah. And I think exactly like you said, it's like a big distraction, what is happening, to take us away from, you know, doing what we're doing over here in this, you know, in our communities, because the real effect would be in our communities and building those relationships that can make the changes. Not, you know, not worrying about, you know, Trump or Bernie or Hillary or whatever, because, you know, in the end, they're going to be far away in, you know, Washington, D.C., and we're in Hawaii, and in the end, it's going to be like, okay, who's on our county council? You know, Uncle Bernard, Uncle Mel, how you get, you know.
Well, and how are we going to elect them?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think those guys, like, I don't know how effective as they want to be. I don't know what they can do, too. It's one person as a president. So, you know, what can they really do, whether they want to or not, right? They can have the best intentions, but if their Senate isn't in line with them or, you know, whatever, it's not going to affect that. Whereas the county council, even smaller, even community neighborhood associations, things that we can do to take care of our area. I mean, that's what's gonna grow and gonna be a stronger, create a stronger island, I think, if we can really work hard to try and. Oh, God, just walked out on us.
Well, that's the, you know, that's like the whole thing with the democracy, right? The people, if it's truly by the people for the people, then right. why don't the people take control of that?
Right.
And you know, can mobilize. I think we've seen it on Kauai before. I think we've seen Kauai mobilize. And then it happens in good ways, too. I remember, like, after Iniki, you know, Kauai had pretty much mobilized and, you know, we bounced back. Recently, we've been having, you know, this pro-con thing with a lot of issues, you know, GMOs, dairy, out in Honolulu. I know we got a lot of pro-con things with the businesses and stuff out there. So we just got to be able to talk more about those, you know, and have more open discussions. And so Kauai is kind of charged, you know, like Kauai, the people are there to participate. We just need more venues for that to happen.
Right, and brings us right back to that topic of the Charter Commission. And, you know, there's an open mic there every month that you can talk about things that are on the agenda. And we have a very open commission, you know, the commissioners that I'm so fortunate enough to work side by side with, all have a far reach into the community, and I hope that people can talk. I have one more meeting, and then I'm done. Second term is over in this next meeting. So it's been really exciting for me, you know, to be a part of putting, you know, allowing districting to go before the people, a process of county council government. And, you know, full disclosure for me, I was fortunate enough. My mom raised the first 20 years of my life I spent in Haena on the beach, and the last 25 years I've been in Hanalei. So for 45 years, I've been in this side, right in here. So it's you know, I come when I'm talking about districting, you know, that's where my head's at. So I'll try to keep a very open description of what's happening, what the potentials are. But I encourage everybody to really get involved and look at how it's going to affect your life. You know, if you live in an area that you get good representation from plenty of people, then you got to hang on. You know, you might want to hang on to that,
right,
and work towards that. And not to say that we don't get good representation. You know, maybe if you live out here and you feel like you get good representation because you have good relationships with all seven council members, then you want to keep that council member process so you can talk to all seven. You know, I've heard some of that criticism with the districting that, you know, they want to be able to talk to all seven council members and call them and tell them what, you know, like.
And that won't happen.
Well, if you have districting, you would have your district, and the current proposal is five districts and two council members at large, uh-huh, right? So you'd have your district representative, and they would have to live in the district, and you would be voted on by the people in your district. Then you'd have two at large council members, right? And they would have to be elected by the whole island.
Uh-huh.
Unlike Maui, so we're the only island that doesn't have a district form of county council, right?
All the other ones,
yeah,
do.
So, but there are different. I mean, Maui, and I just want to get that out there because I think it's really important to look at, you know, first thing people kind of react to districting, but if we do a little research, hopefully we can, everybody's going to understand it pretty quickly if you don't already. I mean, I think when you kind of hear, you know, Maui has nine county council members. They are elected by they have to live in the district that they represent. But they're elected by the whole island. So everybody votes for Molokai's council member.
The most
everybody's
popular
vote
in that
for
district.
Well, the most popular person on the island. So the guy on Molokai, yeah, he may not win Molokai, but he wins West Maui. So now West Maui is controlling that representative. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just saying, like, that's a possibility, right? When you get you don't get away from that. Here we're looking at where you got to live in your district and vote for your representative because that's your person.
So this situation is the people living in that district will be only be able to vote for that district,
yeah,
representative.
And then the at-large
guy.
Large
guys.
The two at-large and then their district guy, right?
Joe,
or
we've got a phone call. Can we take a call?
Yeah.
Marshall, you want to put them on up? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Are you there?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I just wanted to let you know that in March 13, 1999, the Hawaiian Constitution was reinstated. Okay, Hawaiian nationals got together, reinstated the Hawaiian Constitution. Okay, so I'm telling everybody we should go back to Hawaiian laws. That is what pono here in Hawaii. Hawaiian laws, not U.S. laws. U.S. laws is foreign here. And the way it got here is a war crime.
So you
so
won't.
That's the truth of what's happening in Hawaii. The revolution is very real. Okay? We should go back to Hawaiian law. Okay?
Well,
do you have any questions?
I appreciate your sharing your mana'o on that. I don't think there's anybody arguing.
I get upset when people promote the U.S. system here in Hawaii. It really upsets me. Okay?
And I can understand
Aloha.
Why.
Aloha.
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 Caller, I can understand why that would upset you. And we're engaged in this discussion about our local elections and whether you acknowledge the fake state or not.
Well, just really quickly so we can get through this other island. On the Big Island, they have nine districts. They all are elected for 2 years. You got to live and you vote in your district, right? So the one you're talking about, you got to live there and your people got to vote from there.
I kind of like it because this is a way to bring up leadership within those communities. Now, whether or not these communities have the votership to come out, because you got to say, like, each district could be able to vote for their champion or whatever. Now, how many voters within that district will come out? So there's going to be some rallying or some education.
Some dynamics.
There's going to need to be some kind of, I guess, marketing to get those districts mobilized or activated so that they can come out and actually have a decent candidate to prop up, so to speak.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that's a great point because right now we have horrible voter turnout, right? District on the show, but I think consider, like, if you put together a solid candidate from out here, and because the district could be divided probably from Anahola down, right?
Well, so how did you guys come up with five districts, and what are those districts?
Well, those haven't been established yet. It was more of a study. A committee was formed under the leadership of Jan Tabruncake, formed a leadership, and Alan Parachini was the chair.
Okay.
And they did a Survey Monkey, and over 500 people got involved.
Okay.
And they looked at all the different ones, and that seemed to be the one that everybody could wrap their head around.
Mm-hmm.
But just backing up a little bit, I really feel that the hope, and if you have somebody that you know that's from your community, that's working hard in your community to help be the voice at the county council.
To represent.
Well, yeah, you got to go show up. Right now, it's hard to know any of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most guys out here, they don't really have a real good connection with most of them. So,
mm-hmm.
not everybody. Some people are really close with them,
sure.
You know, but the majority of the people that I talk to out here don't know what's going on out there. And this place is growing like crazy, right? We got the amount of houses and you know, within shopping centers and vacation rentals and the way this community has grown since when we were small kid days. And I can't even imagine what it must be like for the people that were here before, like way before me. I'm only 45, you know, like there's people that are must just be like tripping
blown
out.
Away.
Yeah, so as it grows, there's still a huge disconnect to Lihue side, to this machine that's our county government.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think the districting is going to be the silver bullet, right, by any means. It's just one part. I think that it will engage the community in participating. If you put Jeff Stone and you put Chipper Wickman on the ballot, those two guys, oh, you're going to see some turnout, right? There are going to be some guys supporting Chipper.
Both interests.
No, one side. No, both sides. Both sides. But the point is you will see a huge turnout, I think, within that district, depending on the candidates, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, so I'm from the west side, so a couple guys in my head that I always see at the Capitol would be Kubo, Clayton Kubo.
Right.
Not forgetting his name right now.
Yeah.
But he's always in the papers. Yeah. He's always at the rallies.
Mr. B?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Mr. B.
The mayor of Kekaha.
There you go. So we got these people out there already in place. Now, if this system kind of happens, then these potential guys will now have an opportunity to make some changes.
I think the biggest criticism that we hear is that there's this opportunity for horse trading, or it kind of divides the island. The island's not quite big enough. And then the hope is that it would actually bring us more together, because it would be hard to argue what's best for the west side than with these guys, right? You guys are the ones living there. For anybody to come and tell them how they should do it, or listen and be like, oh, that's what you... Okay, I agree with you. I'll give you a couple hours one day. I come back a couple months later. We talk about it again. Rather than, like, eat, breathe, and sleep there, you're going to... If you don't represent that community, you will not be elected next time. And so I think it will strengthen the communication within the island. I think it will grow us closer together, because it will bring good messengers from those communities that are speaking about Pine Trees parking lot's been bussed up for years. Like we need to have voices there that are, like, if you said, hey, we're going to meet at Pine Trees parking lot tomorrow, how much in the county would even know where to go? It's so far out here. Like, oh, where's that? Is that by a Black Pot? Like, you know,
we'll have
like,
to do a workshop.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, you don't. It's the benefit of having someone that's from that area bringing information to the county council.
Yeah.
I think it's going to strengthen the island's relationship. It'll strengthen the.
So
knowledge.
You voted in favor of
absolutely.
Of this.
I
what was the vote for this?
It was 4-3 for the districting. Last time it was on the ballot. I mean, excuse me. Last time it was before the Charter Commission in 14. It lost by 3-4, and at that time the proposal was seven. I believe it was seven districts.
Right.
And I wasn't a big supporter of seven districts. Mm-hmm. It really cuts the island up a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on the committee last time that went out and came back with the proposal.
You and Pat.
Pat and I think Ed had been on it. This time I was not, just because I felt like we had been down that road so long and that some fresh knowledge would be good.
Jimmy Nishida.
Jimmy, that's right. Jimmy was the one. That was quite a while.
Jimmy, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I got to call you back.
Yeah. So this time they came up with the and it was voted on. It did pass through our Charter Commission, and it looks like it'll go to legal review now. It'll come back, and we'll look at it one more time to make sure it is legal.
Uh-huh.
And they'll go on the ballot, and then hopefully people can vote on this. And you know, it has been on the ballot before.
How does the chair get affected by this? Does the chair get elected the same way? Or
I would think the chair would be the at-large, right?
Yeah,
chair and vice-chair would be the two
at-large. Cheryl Stiglmeyer, she works at the college, and she's also a Charter Review member, about this whole, if you will, question, and suggested having three districts and four at large, and having three districts be 2-year terms and the four at large be 4-year terms to kind of sweeten the pot for those, if you will, council veterans who maybe would like to focus more on their work and not on getting reelected.
Well, I think 4 and 2-year districts is, I mean, terms is another great conversation to have.
Mm-hmm.
I was one that was strongly against the longer terms, and now I find myself much more supporting. And I'm like I said, one more month on this committee, so I won't be voting.
Well,
on
one
it.
Of the things that I think, you know, as Joshua pointed out, is having 2-year terms for your, if you will, district reps. Having the opportunity to kind of vote them out sooner if they're not doing what you'd like them to do, or to engage more people in the community and see leadership cycle through. If somebody does well as a district representative, they might think about going for a 4-year at large because they're a little bit better well-known island-wide. They've had a track record to demonstrate that, yeah, let's keep them in office and get more work done. I think there's a common complaint amongst people that, wow, what does the council do?
Well, it's like House and Senate, right? The House is 2 years and the Senate's 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
those are districts. We're not allowing electing those at large, or they would all be from Oahu, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have
mm-hmm.
representation over here. So
right.
district representation is – but, there, you know, once again, there's a lot of good information for and against, and I really encourage people to find out because
– Now, what would be the public hearing process for people to weigh in on this? Or is that done? It's just going to be voted on at the poll
the way
or
to
at particip- the ballot?
Yeah, the way to get your voice heard is to go in there and vote for the districting. If it, I mean, I hesitate to say that because there is one more meeting and anything can happen. So I'm sure if, you know, Trove showed up and we're able to convince some of these commissioners to vote against it next time, then
right.
it wouldn't be on the ballot. So.
Right.
I hope I'm not jumping the gun on it, but hopefully, and if that's the case, then that's the will of the people, right?
Right.
We do know that it was on the ballot in 82, 96, and 06. In 96, it lost by about 1,500 votes. In 06, it lost by about 161 votes.
Very small amount.
So it went from 3,000, 1,000, 161 votes it lost last time. So the pendulum seems to be swinging towards that. One other thing I think is important to mention is that when it was on the ballot last time, the outer-lying districts, the precincts that came in those polls, all handedly won wanting districting.
That question.
Yes. It was the internal, you know, it's the center that held on to
kind of
the
like,
at-large district, at-large council system. So we'll see how it goes.
Right, and I think that oftentimes I talked with Alan Parrachini about this in regards to making decisions kind of in a vacuum, that the Charter Review Commission is looking at this issue of districting, and the council is looking at county manager, and there's going to be maybe potential 2 significant restructuring options. Maybe there's a missing opportunity to kind of look at those both processes and say, well, what if we hybridize this question on the ballot and set up a situation that would be favorable for more efficiency in administration of our county government and having better representation by that legislative body, the council.
Well, brighter minds will have to be involved in that conversation because I do not have that. But I can appreciate your effort in that department. I see the districting model and kind of can see how it could hopefully be a better informational source and an active participant in the process from this district.
And I also think that the county manager question is one that we should really delve into and look at, well, how would that affect our local government?
And then there's council members that are they're pretty into it right now, right?
I think so. I mean, I think the question Mason Chalk has been, you know, chairing a committee to kind of do some background and some research, and then the presentations that they've made so far. I'm not quite up. We'll have to check in with Ken Taylor and Glenn Mickens on the progress on that front. But yeah,
so
looking
we
at some
that in the Charter Commission last
right?
session, and we went out to all. So we did a, you know, road trip where we went to each side of the island, three community meetings, and there was overwhelming support to to maintain the mayor system.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor, it was a strong showing. I mean, they came in hot and heavy, and they were organized and ready to keep that. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's the way. It's just interesting because, you know, when that question came up, you know, people reacted. So you always want to kind of think about that.
Right. Well, and again, the machine that is established, they call it a strong mayor for a reason.
Yeah.
And so there are powers that be that really don't want that to change much,
right,
if
right.
at all.
Yeah, and I actually voted against it, too, when it was the opportunity. And there was challenges with, you know, requirements and minimal requirements for a county manager.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to make enemies too much around the microphone, but there was definitely some challenges between, like, where's this guy going to come from?
Yeah.
You'll let anybody come? Well, you might not even have somebody from here that can do that. And
mm-hmm.
so to me, it looked like that. You want to talk about the machine, like, getting things done in county government is... It's the leaders, but it's also the workers. You know, like those
sure.
guys got to have respect for their leaders, and they're the ones doing the work.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
absolutely. The people in the offices, the
mm-hmm.
people out on taking care of our parks. I mean, these are the people that make our county go. And so, if you have a leader that they all respect, which is helps if you went to high school with them, or you know,
mm-hmm.
you
or signed your check,
or or else if it's the county manager, maybe the guy is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
anyway,
yeah, big things to talk about. So Joel, I appreciate you coming in to bring us up to date on that question. What else with the charter that we might be looking at coming up?
Oh, there's some. I mean, the member petition going from 5% up to 10%. That's a huge topic.
Uh-huh.
That's for, you know, citizen amendments. There's a whole host of them, and I wish I could rattle them off. I was kind of all day thinking about this districting conversation, but please get involved. It's a huge opportunity for participation in the process.
Well, I'm going to be letting John Gordon come in and get his scheme up. We'll make the transition with Jazz with John on, there we go, haven't yet, so we'll play that for our transition. Marshall, thank you for manning the phones and your expertise on the presidential preference poll.
Thanks again for
Look forward to doing some more of that. Felicia, if you're still listening, thank you for calling it in and setting everything up. Joel, mahalos for your good work. And,
yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations, Pops.
Yeah, psych for Grayson. And
there we go. And Joshua Bukina, we'll get you back. Kauai Kine, representing in the House.
Ew.
There we go. John Gordon, stay tuned for Jazz with John coming right up. We got a council wave action before we go.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of February 29th. There will be a council committee meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd. There will also be a special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd, and it will start at 8:30. Subject of the special meeting is a council manager form of government workshop. The meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights from the meeting agendas. For the committee meeting, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Committee Chair Kagawa for the County Engineer and Deputy County Engineer to discuss the circumstances relating to the Management Advisory Report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current findings and recommendations 2015-003, and that's improved monitoring and delinquent receivable accounts. Council Chair Raposo requests the Acting County Engineer provide a briefing and status update on the Hanapepe Bridge. This committee also has bills 2016, 12, and 13 on their agenda, and they relate to the plumbing and electrical codes and were deferred from February 17th. The Public Safety Committee has a request from the prosecuting attorney for approval to spend federal funds in the amount of $210,716 for the Kauai Victim of Crime Act expansion project for the period July 1, 2016 through June 30, 2017. And this was referred on February 24th. Council Chair Raposo requests the fire chief provide a briefing on the recent rescues that took place in Kalalau Valley and the reasons as to why the county is not charging for the recovery of rescue expenses as outlined in Ordinance Number 991. The Planning Committee has a request from Council Chair Raposo for agenda time for the Coco Palms Hui LLC to provide a status report regarding their progress to rebuild the former Coco Palms Hotel. The Budget and Finance Committee has communications from the Salary Commission transmitting for council information the Salary Commission's resolution number 2016-01 relating to the salaries of certain officers and employees of the county for the fiscal year 2016 through 2017. This was adopted by the Salary Commission at its February 5th meeting. This is Salary Commission resolution number 2016-1. Also on their agenda is Bill number 2610 for an ordinance to establish a general excise and use tax surcharge for the County of Kauai, and this was deferred from February 3rd. There will be a non-public executive session for the Office of the County Attorney to brief the Council relating to the Management Advisory Report for fiscal year ending June 30, 2015. Current Findings and Recommendations 2015-003 improve monitoring of delinquent receivable accounts and related matters. For the special council meeting on Thursday, March 3rd at 8:30 a.m., their agenda is the Council Manager Form of Government Workshop. It will be used to discuss revisions to the county charter that would result in a new county charter changing the government structure of the County of Kauai from the current system to a county manager form of county government. Visit the county's website for more information. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio. And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next. And Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island at retail locations island-wide, on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online.